Hello, friends, and welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Hira.
And I am Wolf. Didn't expect that, did you? You didn't expect it.
Just like a lot of things that Hira didn't expect, honestly.
Yeah, she didn't expect from him.
Her feelings, her conflict of her feelings.
Right.
Helm. Going kind of wacky.
I didn't expect a lot of stuff to happen in this, but
a lot of stuff happening.
There's a lot of stuff, though, that we should have expected.
Yes.
Because it's canon.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Can I say something, too?
We're there.
No,
we're there.
Can I say something about that real quick? Jake Hodgson loved that.
Yeah.
He was like, he said, I saw your guys' video. He said, I love how Ez just canon and dropped the mic.
Just
and
canon.
I was like... So, friends, we are talking about The War of the Rohirrim, the anime movie released by Warner Brothers, produced by Peter Jackson's team, Kenji Kurumoto, who directed this film, legendary anime director and creator. We had a great time.
Oh, freaking
we! Wow. Whoa, hey, flannel.
We're still out.
The flannel F.
We're
flying.
Still out in the. I swear to you guys, we're actually. I'm not cutting that either. We're out. In the
please
cold.
Don't. Please don't.
And our mouth is kind of sticking together.
That's what it was.
Like, have you noticed? We've recorded all of these outside.
We have.
Honestly, our mouth is.
What is that?
What is that, dude? What is that?
We're hearing all kinds of weird stuff out
that
here.
That is an extremely loud car.
Gosh, dang, dude.
Or that is some sort of military.
We're talking about.
Activity.
Yeah. We're talking
we're
about
in the North
drones.
Farthing.
We're talking about drones next episode.
Yeah,
so
next
we're getting all kinds
drones.
Of freaked out. We saw it, ironically, not to jump to the end,
it's
but on the
just
way home.
Staying there.
Hey, what
okay,
do you
it's
see?
Maybe going away.
Okay. On the way home, we saw a UAP. So listen to the next moment of an alert to hear more about that.
Like we saw it the night that we saw War of the Rohirrim.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah.
On the way home.
Teaser. Same night that,
Air Force Base shut down.
Air Force Base shut down.
At the exact same time.
Right, Pat. Shuts down.
Yeah.
So, whatever, guys. You
is it linked? You tell us.
We'll tell you next episode.
Yeah, we will tell you.
Yeah.
So, we saw this in Easton at the AMC Town Theater, or the Easton Town Center AMC Theater. So, I don't know why I said that backwards. Which was really cool and nostalgic because, like, when we were growing up, that was, like, the nice place to go to watch a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still really lovely. So, anyway, it's in this big, giant shopping mall in Columbus, Ohio. We were able to go with everyone who we planned on going with was able to make it except for Kurt Jones, our very own Faramir. That was a massive bummer. I was really looking forward to seeing him so close to the long expected golf outing. But anyway, we rode on, we all made it. It was Cameron Hansen, Mike Charles, David Downing, Postmaster Kevin, Joe Lewis,
and
me.
Yep.
We had a great time. We bought seats ahead, so we were like one whole row. Like one whole row was us, which was great.
It was awesome.
We, between the six, seven of us, we had three popcorn hammers.
Three hammers.
That were purchased and more than a few steins. And so we loved that kind of like the gimmicky. Isn't it funny? Like I thought to myself, where was that when we were kids? Like, when you went to theaters, you couldn't get any of that kind of really cool. Now they're having special popcorn bowls for, like, every movie that comes out. And I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, yeah, it was at, like, McDonald's and Burger King. Like, when we were
for
kids,
sure.
The fast food places
right. They
did
had
all
toys
that kind of promotional
stuff
that was really cool and, like, unique and you had to get, you know. But anyway, yeah, we went and saw it. It wasn't on a massive screen, but it was a great, I don't go to the theater. Yeah.
Theater experience.
Exactly. I don't go to the theater very often anymore. So, like, anytime I go to the theater, it's like I get all kinds of nostalgia and I love it. The seats were great.
Yes, they were.
They were, like, reclinable seats, which were I sunk into. Like, I think at one point Kevin and I were spooning accidentally. I don't know what was happening. And then we got to the movie, man. And, I love the way it started. It started with like a map and everything. It was full of all kinds of really cool nods to what we're familiar with while introducing a new story in a brand new format. So let's just get into it. What are some things that you liked about it?
Yeah.
Start there. And then maybe we could have a couple things that there's not tons of things I disliked. I mean, there's only a couple things.
No.
And I don't even think they're really dislikes. They're kind of just things I would change, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I got to say, I'm actually a little disappointed. I think there's, I don't know. When I see people, YouTubers, I don't know, reviewers, Rotten Tomato, the whole thing, I'm sort of like, dude, this whole thing is kind of toxic. I don't know. It feels
like you said years ago, it's cool to be critical.
It's cool to be critical to the point where now it's like it's profitable to be critical, highly critical, and to be highly negative. And, you know, I say that because I want to say that because this is not perfect or anything.
No.
But like Rings of Power just came out. I was highly critical of that last season. And we found some good, but we found a whole lot of stuff we did not like. And and a lot of it was just the lore stuff for me, the how it was sort of condensed timeline, and there was just too many things that were different. And with this show, so with War of the Rohirrim, I was like, as I was watching, I was going, oh yeah, we've actually talked about this, or I've read about it. It's all kind of muddled in my mind. But I remember when I saw the spoilers ahead, by the way.
All right.
When I saw,
well, not really, because it's canon.
It's canon. Right.
So it's been around for a long time.
Girls.
But yeah.
But yeah, in case you haven't seen it and you don't know the story at all, we're going to reveal some of it here. But the one punch, after the one punch kill,
dude.
I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
This happens, and therefore his son swears vengeance. It all just clicked in my head. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, this is, so I knew it was going to happen. Then I watched for it, and I was like, oh, it did happen.
Yeah.
This did execute. This did follow through.
Yeah.
And as you said, one of the brilliant things to it, you know, like Arondir in Rings of Power, for example, made up character, but totally believable that he was around, and totally fine to have your character. I think Arondir's been fun for us. It's just we feel like he's their made up character and he's lost in their own story. He doesn't know what to do, where to go, what to be, and so they don't know where to put him.
He saves too many people. Like,
he's lost without Bronwyn. There's no, it's so they don't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
But in, so in this, you were telling me Hera is not actually like a lore character, I think.
Yeah,
I haven't looked into this yet, but she's so they Helm, named her.
Yeah, Helm has his two sons, Haleth and Hama, which is really crazy because if you go to the Two Towers, that little boy, where he asks, Aragorn says, "Give me your sword, Haleth, son of Hama." So that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's right,
That little lore buried in there that they were named after these two sons, like a father and son were named after these two sons. But yeah, Haleth and Hama are named, and then he just has an unnamed daughter.
Yeah.
So we talked about this too, because I was like, okay, what Rings of Power did with Galadriel, not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not okay because you're changing a character to be like, at its very core, a different, an entirely different character from the one that Tolkien wrote, right?
Sure, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's why it's not okay that she's kind of more of a, I don't want to use, like, these terms get thrown around in a negative way, but like a female boss or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What do people say? Like a,
they say Mary Sue.
Yeah, okay. Or like a girl boss or whatever, or like a Xena princess warrior, whatever.
Yeah.
To me, the glaring thing is because that's not how Tolkien wrote her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had he written her like that, then, of course, like, dude, we love strong women.
Oh, for sure, dude, for sure.
We got them all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's not something that I like see in a movie and go, oh, God, here we go, pushing agendas.
Yeah,
I feel that way. I don't.
And I'm not initially looking for that either. But
no,
And even I think if you were, go ahead.
And the way that I can just like validate that for everyone is I loved Hera. I loved Hera because, again, they characterized her a certain way, a shield maiden, right?
Yeah.
Very like Eowyn-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that works because there was nothing written about her.
Yeah. Yep.
She was an unexplored character. And they really made her a lot like Helm.
Mm-hmm.
They said, let's make this character, this daughter, a lot like her father.
Yeah.
But with, actually, she's more like a mix between her brothers, isn't she? Because her one brother is very artistic
and
gentle and like very kind of not a warrior, more like a peacemaker, and the other one is exactly like Helm, and just a straight warrior, not really thinking about actions or consequences or ramifications. And she's sort of like a mixture of the two.
Yeah.
But the changes they made to Galadriel, especially the more you learn about Galadriel and how she was, you know, in the second and first ages, not cool, not a fan of, don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not because of any kind of anything else, just it was too, it like you literally saw, okay, Tolkien wrote it this way, and let's make her the opposite. Whereas here we have Tolkien didn't write anything about her. let's explore what could she be like.
Didn't they open her in the narration with that? Like, these are stories you've never heard of?
Yes.
And I thought that was kind of cool. I'm like,
it was amazing.
Oh. So this is actually a story, though, overall that we've heard of.
Yes.
So when you look at the accuracy of that, and you look at, like, what happened with Helm and, you know, like, going back and getting the lore on Helm's Deep.
Yeah.
Right? And actually exploring all that and bringing it to,
and
like...
And the origins of the... Or
cool.
Yeah. The potential origins of the name Hammerhand.
Yeah.
Being from that punch. Like, even though Tolkien never explicitly said, again, wow, really caught on the tongue, but... People kind of being able to say, well, yeah, it's probably 100% where the name came from. But, what were we talking about before that?
Well, we were just basically talking. I mean, I was kind of sharing that I think it's cool that they did that, and there's such a difference between what they're doing here. I was talking about it being cool to be critical and how...
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, yeah,
you know, like, yeah, that I want...
That's one of the big complaints is Hera.
People
are like, oh my gosh, here we go again, and it's not even about Helm, and I'm like,
right.
Dude, no, there was... The fairest reviews I've read said that it balanced... It was a very well-balanced mixture of Hera's storyline and Helm's. And I thought the same thing. And actually, even Freyloff, who got, like...
Oh yeah.
Even though he kind of like Éomer is sort of out of the loop for a lot of it, I felt like he was one of the most strongly developed characters, and had an incredible an arc over the entire duration of the film, the story of the film. So
yeah,
yeah,
dude, it is just
so a lot of negative stuff going on about it, and that's fine.
Well, that's where I think it's just.
But
like,
it seems less founded than other stuff, I would say.
Yeah, and I just wanted to kind of point out that although we've been critical of some things, we have our reasons for being critical. And I feel like some people out there are just critical every freaking day.
Yeah. Tell me, I'd like to go to them. We talk about this. Tell me something you like, dude.
I don't know.
Tell me something you like.
Right.
And
I mean,
not like anything.
You and I made an intentionality to try to find our positives and try to, you know, look for, you can look for things. You can find something positive. It's not all freaking garbage.
Right.
There might not be a lot, but you can go find it. And there's other things that sort of carry more weight than others. Certain aspects that carry more weight. And so in this, I was just like, it's an anime. It's not meant to be, it's not a feature thing. There wasn't a ton of money spent on it, you know, it was, and like you said, some of the production will be interesting to see where they voice stuff and were they in studios, were they in different places, you know, just how it all kind of came together. I think it's going to be cool. But, we went back to the theater to see Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And we got to go back and like the sets looked the same.
Yep.
The visuals, right?
The design was all solid.
All solid. It all matched from what we've seen in the trilogy. It was able to match. It wasn't like this weird sort of like Rings of Power where we're going to try to make it look like Peter Jackson stuff, but we really can't.
Yeah.
But we also know the power that trilogy holds. Mm-hmm. And so
we're going to make references.
We got to make references to it because it's the granddaddy, you know, it's, and so this was just sort of like, nope, we can do that. We can absolutely come right out here. We can even bring the freaking white wizard in at the end and stuff. Dude. There's so many things that they could do. And I was like, well, this is freaking cool.
Yeah.
So they told a story that is there. I mean, as I'm looking at it here, I'm on Tolkien Galway and just go away, dude. Dude, the tongue is not working on this cold. Recording outside.
Tolkien Galway.
This cold web. It's a new website, guys. We're starting it today. Oh my gosh, man. It's crazy.
All the major points happened. All the major plot points
Freka
in this.
Literally, is a rich and powerful man, right?
Yep.
Who does ride. Right to Edoras, and he has a great force of men.
Unannounced, yeah.
He asked for help. He asked Helm for the hand of his daughter, for his son Wolf, right?
Yep.
And then that really does go down that way.
Yeah.
And so then they never really go on to tell you her story,
right?
Right, and she's
unnamed. She's not a focal point. I'll tell you one of the things I loved about this. Okay, like overarching themes that I loved about this that was different from other Lord of the Rings stuff is. It was man against or groups of men versus groups of men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we didn't have like, so in that way, to me, it felt kind of more true to real life. It felt a little more human, obviously. Like the bad guys weren't a bunch of orcs and monsters and evil lords. It was like another group of men that you're kind of related to. And that's something that we don't really see tons of. I mean, we get a little bit of the Dunlendings in the trilogy, but not much, man. Mostly just they burn the Westfold, and we know they swear allegiance to Saruman, and they're kind of out of it. And then it's the Uruk-hai who come in, and okay, we can all unite behind that. We can all fight. I mean, it was like Wolf's advisor. I can't remember his name, was one of the guys who, when Wolf at the very end was driven to madness to try and avenge, in that way Wolf and Helm were very similar. When he was driven to madness to just like destroy Helm's Deep or the Deep.
And to
kill Hera and then go after all of the people of Rohan and destroy them all. The advisor, he was like, this is enough. She's the surrender, like this, let it go, like leave it alone. He wouldn't listen. So I was like, this is a very human story, like about how power corrupts and how really, if you want to get Tolkienian, dude, I mean, he talked about like how vengeance, this is, I did think it was funny too. I'll just, cause this is coming up with the whole vengeance theme. I thought it was hilarious how many times they trolled Rings of Power.
Oh dude. Talk.
There were so many moments where it was a direct troll. Like, there are five or six different ones I can think of where they were like, that's a diss at Rings of Power. That's a troll of Rings of Power. Like, they were literally making this movie and also, like writing diss tracks. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's freaking crazy.
But the whole idea of, like, the lesson that you learn from Wolf is that, like, this vengeance motivation.
Yeah.
Even though you could say it's justified.
Right.
Helm punched his dad, killed him.
Yeah.
And then didn't even apologize for it. Like, he tried to take his sword out there and banished him and drove him away instead of being like, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. That was pretty messed up, which, of course, wouldn't make any sense either.
No, yeah.
But
yeah.
So that this vengeance motivation leads to destruction. It's the worst thing. And Tolkien talked about that, how that as a motivator, and that even if it's just, is wrong. And it leads to destruction. And it leads to corruption of your soul.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Like, even in little, like, themes, like, thematic elements between characters like that or story arcs, I'm like, this is Tolkienian. This is Tolkienian. The stuff that is glorified in other stuff wasn't glorified here. Like, I really appreciated the aspect that we got to see man versus man, and it wasn't as fantastical that way. It felt, like, almost kind of plausible in a way. I'm like, this is what clans have done for thousands of years, whether it's modern-day tribes, like, within our culture, or whether it's really, like, back when we were different divisions and groups of people that fought over land and resources and just to be more powerful than and you subjugate people, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loved that part of it. I loved a lot. Honestly, it would be easier to talk about the things I wasn't as huge of a fan of, because the rest of it I love, dude. So one of the things is I felt like it went on too long.
Sure.
I said when we got out, I'm like,
it's a really small thing in Appendix A.
Yes,
it's really not that. There's not a whole lot. There's just an outline.
I think you could have gone 90 minutes and it would have been fine. You could have cut out a half an hour and it wouldn't have lost anything. The other thing that I wasn't a huge fan of, or that this took me a while to get adjusted to, was the whole anime style of like...
Sure.
You've got a tight shot, something emotional just happened, you've got a close shot, and then there's just no expression because there can't really be with that style of animation.
Yeah.
So it was like some of that stuff, again, you could cut that shot a little bit shorter and it wouldn't be as weird. And I'm like, what am I supposed to be getting from this? Is he sad? I can't even, what's the weight? It just kind of felt flat a little bit in moments like that. But again, style, not a big deal. I can look past that. Not a problem. I just totally burped. Another one was the, and this is a silly nitpick, but it was, and this is the last one, dude. This is really the last one. The Mumakil and the Watcher
in the
Water.
Oh my God, I was going to say the same thing.
I was like,
that's a little overkill.
Dude,
like
that one felt
contrived.
To me, and it was
little,
early on.
Yeah.
So I could see like someone watching this and being like, I'm out, dude. I'm out.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
I could see that. Yep.
It felt to me like that was the most Peter Jackson thing that in the entire movie where he would have just been like, hey, Kenji, you know, I don't want to tell you what to do, mate, but if we had this massive sort of fight with, you know, a Mumakil and maybe the Watcher of the Water comes out and he's like actually an island. And I'm just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It was just too much. I agree. Doesn't even feel, I know it's a cartoon, but it doesn't even feel like we're even toying with reality. But anyway, it seems like that felt like something you'd see in the Hobbit movies.
Right.
100%. But dude, other than that,
The people were asking us afterwards too, like, what's the, and maybe you guys know and you can write in, but like some of the things I had questions about, like, Isengard. You know, is Saruman there during that time?
Yeah.
Do we know whether, how long has he been there? When did he move in? When did he occupy that space?
Right.
It feels like he's been there longer, and it feels like that was sort of a, you know, at the end he's like the new lord. It was forced a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. Maybe that is, there's more to that than I remember. I have to go back and look at that. I didn't look up any lore, any notes or prep for this at all.
Right.
It's just coming out of that kind of raw and reacting to it. Because, yeah, I'm with you. The Watcher was a little bit strange and contrived. And the whole point of that is so she understands, like, that he is, that Wolf is gathering forces.
Yeah.
And
so
that
she's
captured.
Get captured, right. Yeah.
And then
Which I didn't even catch until someone was like, that was why that happened. I'm like, oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
You could have done that in a million different ways.
Tons of different ways,
know?
Right. Yeah. She's captured just on a random day, which adds more drama, suspense. She then is informed about what's going on. There's drama between, you know, with Helm and his nephew and like advice and a betrayal and all that kind of stuff, which is all cool. And is all, you know, adds to the story and is the story actually too.
Yeah.
So that was neat, but you're right. Just the way the mechanism to kind of use to get her there was really like, well, cause I was like, Frodo would never have freaking survived the grip of that bad boy.
No.
I mean, dude, you just squish him. I mean, 2 seconds.
Yeah. And then how it swallowed it up and then it just slapped back down and it was an island again. I'm like, oh my gosh. But again, that kind of felt like a troll to me of Rings of Power. I'm like, there's the Watcher. They did the Watcher too. It's just like, how many things can we, you did these. Okay. We're going to do them. We're going to even go crazier and people will still come watch. So, but honestly, I will sum up like how I felt about this movie is I wasn't totally sure how I felt about it until the end when the full picture kind of came in and Frealf came over the crest of the hill into the deep.
Yeah.
And he had Helm's helmet on.
Yep.
And the moon was rising behind him. And so the first light of the night instead of the first light of the day. And the Dunlendings went crazy saying, it's the Wraith. The ghost is back.
And
I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, it was almost like as a complete picture, as a complete picture. It was like until the very end, I was kind of like, there's elements like, and then I saw at the end, I'm like, okay, I see this for what it is. This is almost like a love letter to what Helm's Deep and the Two Towers is.
Yeah.
It's like, how can we lay groundwork for this? How can we show similarities, but also make it different? How can we still also tell this story? And then again, like another troll that they ended with was like going to see Gandalf. He goes by many names, you know?
You
know, I was like, dang, let's go. I was surprised they didn't say Grandalf. And
me too.
Just the way it wrapped up was really cool. I thought like, it paid homage to things in ways that weren't, they didn't go too far. It wasn't like they didn't like throw winks at us like we're morons. Like they trusted us to go, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. They didn't explain everything, which I love because that's a great story. It doesn't explain everything. You have to go do research on your own. Like for instance, like when did Saruman occupy Isengard? I don't know. I have to go look that one up.
Left it kind
of, you know, the tower's been there for thousands of years, like how long was he there? We don't know. So those kind of things I thought were really good. And again, overall, I went away thinking like, I think Rings of Power messed me up so bad that like, again, my reaction at the end was, what is that out there? Why is it changing colors?
I know, right, dude?
That's what I saw outside of my house, dude.
That is strange, dude.
That's it's swirling kind of, blue
it's,
and,
it's staying
and
in
white
the same
and
spot.
Red.
That's the drones, dude. We're going to talk about it next episode.
Okay, we're spotting stuff out here in the North Farthing.
I'm telling you, man. Okay.
Is that splitting into two, or am I seeing stuff?
You're seeing stuff right
okay.
there, but still, I'm with you.
It's like disappearing.
Oh,
guys. It's disappearing.
Oh.
It just disappeared into nothing.
My God.
Now it's moving.
Oh, my God. It's almost gone.
Is that just a plane that was turning, maybe?
No way, dude.
What is it even doing? Where is it going? It's floating around like crazy.
Wow, dude. Okay. That is bizarre. I can just barely...
It just did like a curlicue.
Yeah. Wow. And now it's moving up over here.
Now it's brighter. What in the heck, Ez?
It was
now
staying.
It's going down.
You see it was staying right there, and then now it's actually moving over here to the side.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Holy.
But it did like a loop-de-loop. Did you see that? It's not moving in a straight line either.
Yeah.
Now it's stopping and going down again.
Okay. We're going to keep our eye on it.
It's going up and down like in a wave.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, what is that, Ez?
I don't know, buddy. I don't know. I'm interested, though.
What in the crap? Okay, we're going to literally keep our eyes on it, and we're going to finish talking about...
Oh, boy.
Where they were hearing. So Rings of Power had messed me up so much... that I was seeing UAPs that I was literally thinking like, okay, I was expecting to have a bunch of stuff I didn't like about it. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe a long way to say that the highest praise I can give this movie is there were like two or three things that I kind of just didn't prefer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. Like,
that's pretty amazing because there was like, yeah, when you go to Rings of Power, it's like almost everything was just really.
I didn't like anything. I couldn't think of anything I liked. I could barely think of anything I didn't like.
Right. No, and I think that's good. I think, because for me, I overall, in general, really did enjoy it. I really did like it, and I thought it was really cool.
There's two.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, there's definitely two. Okay. Two towers. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Two orbs.
Add some more wood
circulating out.
Yeah, tell us more about your reaction.
Yeah, I really thought it was really neat. I really thought it was interesting just to be back in Lord of the Rings, to see the sets, to hear, you know, the soundtrack again was beautiful, and to it was just so cool to, I don't know, like to, yes, they were, they really were, and to have even to know behind it was like some of the old actors and producers and different people and were involved with it and wanted to bring it to life, and this is sort of a foreshadowing to what's to come, right? We're going to be getting back into Middle Earth in this way, and so it was a way to say, hey, we can go back into the Third Age and we can show you guys some of the lore here too, and we can do it in anime and we can do it better, if not just as good. And it was great, though. I did think that it was accurate. It's if you go look at the appendix. Hey, friends, it's Ez from An Unexpected Podcast. Do you ever get the feeling that your personal data is everywhere and you have no control over who has access to it? Well, I did, too, until I found Incogni. Incogni is a tool that helps keep your private information safe by removing your data from those sketchy databases that basically just buy and sell your data. As a content creator, I've actually been using Incogni for quite some time. And in all seriousness, it's actually a game changer for my peace of mind. Nowadays, I don't worry nearly as much about unwanted access to my personal information. Incogni handles it all. No more doxing, no more digital redlining, no more spam emails, no more scams, no more identity theft. I mean, seriously, think about it for a second. How many spam calls or spam emails do you literally have to deal with on a daily basis? It's super annoying and it's a security threat. In today's digital world, I think everyone should be taking steps to protect their data. And with Incogni, it makes it extremely easy. So if you want to take control of your online privacy just like I did, head over to incogni.com/unexpectedpodcast and use my code unexpected podcast for an exclusive 60% off on an annual plan. That's a huge deal to keep your data safe. They also offer a 30-day money-back guarantee for all Incogni plans. So again, head over to incogni.com/unexpectedpodcast and use that promo code in unexpected podcast for 60% off of an annual plan. Protect yourself today. Appendix A and Lord of the Rings, it's there. All the bones, all the meat and potatoes are all there. So to me, I really enjoyed it. I had people reaching out asking me kind of what I thought about it, and I haven't heard from a lot of people that didn't like it, honestly. I think you're going to hear a review either at the start of this podcast or at the end. I think David Downing was not a fan of it, and you know, kind of leaned in more to the animation. And I could see the animation style being something that people don't really like, and that the animation is, if you're not used to it, it's a little bit off-putting. But we started Lord of the Rings. I mean, we started with animation. We started with like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings being animated, and I think that was really cool to kind of go back and see that again. It's definitely a little strange, and there's some strange moments in those animations, right? So,
yeah.
But anyways, yeah. Overall, I actually really did enjoy it. I think it wasn't like a super motivational, inspirational story or anything. It's kind of sad
overall. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a dark, dreary, just moment for these people, and it sort of talks and alludes to some of the history between Rohan and Gondor, right? And what's going on between those two kingdoms.
That's
and
true.
How they feel about each other. And then what makes this place so important, and the sounding of the horn and Helm himself. It just brought to life a lot of those things. And we got to see them come off the page, which is cool. And I liked Hera. I really thought Hera was cool. Yeah, I'm glad they did that.
Wolf also was incredible, and like the voice actors were amazing. And like Brian Cox as Helmhammer.
Oh man! Oh yeah!
Let's go,
dude! So
I remember. We've been talking about this movie for years.
Yeah.
like, I want to say 2 or 3 years. I want to say it, like, at the, around the same time as Rings of Power Season 1.
When it was announced, that's what, going back when I was watching, I was like, Lane told me this story. Like, we talked about this on the podcast, and we definitely reviewed it off the podcast, and we're talking about what it could be.
Yeah.
And because I was sort of dumbfounded as to, like, oh, yeah, what is this? And and to see his line end, right, Helm's line end here and figure out, you know, for Theoden and everyone to trace their line back here to the second line of kings and, and Rohan is cool. I was like, wow, this is... This is definitely, this is neat.
It is really cool. Yeah, and it just, like, I mean,
there's nothing spectacular. I'm not sitting here saying it's the freaking most awesomest thing I've ever seen or whatever, but it just didn't do a whole lot of wrong. You know, it didn't, like you said, it really didn't mess up. It really didn't try to be more than just what it is. It didn't try to take a story and go freaking nuts. It really just said, hey, that's the story.
Yeah.
That's really what Tolkien wrote about it.
Yeah.
Let's bring it to life. There's a few areas where we can add a little bit of extra drama to it and things. And but in general, that's that.
Like, I'll put it this way. I'm not going to go watch it in the theater again. But when it releases on Blu-ray or whatever, I will definitely get a copy.
Me too.
100%.
And I'd like to have it on. I'd like to hear their names again. And like to be around it. And I'd like to watch that and then go into the Fellowship. And, you know, it just or the Hobbit and and just watch right on through. I mean, think of how cool it's going to be to have, like, The Hunt for Gollum and to have these other two movies or three movies, whatever they're going to be, where we're going to have Gandalf again and to watch those in order and have these marathons and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, we're lucky, we're blessed to be in one of the best fandoms out there that's very inspirational. And it has a lot of lore and a lot of little tidbits. I mean, the stories that I'm going to be referencing in the Unfinished Tales later on are not super inspiring and stuff like that. It's just Tolkien wanted this mythology. He wanted this history for the languages, to play with languages and a history for his country and to have a mythology, right, and everything, and for it to be real. This is really the true telling of it, kind of, and to, I know, because it didn't have one, right? And so it's cool. I, in general, really like it. And I don't know what people's... I'm going to go out and listen. I haven't really listened before this episode to hear some of the gripes. So maybe you change... We always are. I'm always open to changing my mind and learning something and saying, oh, wow, that's really interesting. And maybe that makes me not like it as much. But I don't really think there's much that's going to...
No.
The story is not a large story. It's a small... story that happens at this particular time. It's an event, and it's sort of this historical event for Rohan, and it's the lore behind Helm's Deep.
Right.
So it's pretty straightforward. It's not trying to cover thousands of years and do something crazy like Rings of Power is. It's really... It's actually what I wish Rings of Power would
have done.
Like even if the story is not super motivational and inspirational, how do we capture that, like, that great tale of the Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, and Return of the King? Well, you can't. You're doing the Second Age. It's the fall of Numenor, for crying out loud. Yeah. Like, it ain't good.
Yeah.
It's not a really good, happy time.
Bad
you know,
stuff.
you're deception
and
you're building up
the best
to,
part is the alliance.
Right, exactly.
Right at the end. Yeah.
Exactly. And so you're trying to it's tough. And I feel like they should have slowed down with that. And you guys have heard me talk about that for a while. I shouldn't have time compressed it. And here we don't have to worry about that because this is all you know, just one single story.
Yeah. I really liked it overall too. I think the only negative thing that I have heard about it so far where I'm like, oh, okay, I could see how that could be kind of a legit gripe was there's a story out now that supposedly Warner Brothers admitted or conceded or said that they did sort of rush this project. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means like initially in the announcement of it. I don't know if it means during production. Cause I feel like it's been in production for like, I mean, this was supposed to come out like last year.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like they rushed the actual release
of it.
Well,
maybe
like
not last year. It's supposed to come out in May originally.
I know what you're.
Yeah. So the whole story is that like, they rushed it so that they could be working on something which would allow them to keep the IP,
and
keep the license.
Yeah, but can I say too, when you get those rights, like even when Amazon gets those rights, if they don't have something produced by a certain time, then so they can be in production to keep it.
Right,
we're working on it. We're working on it. We're working on it, and then it can be released. So
it must have been rushing, to find something to make.
I think it was to rush it to make the announcement that, hey, we're working on this.
We're working on this.
You cannot take the rights away. It's gone into production, even though it might not have. It was more of a conception.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all me spitballing.
Maybe,
I have no clue.
No,
so.
I think you're right. Now that I'm sitting and thinking about it, I'm like, that has to have been what they mean by rushing it. It's like they they literally said, okay, we got to come up with something. What are we going to do? And so I don't think that means that it was sloppily made or like shoddy at all, like slapdash. I really think like they just literally had to think of something to say, no, we're still working in this world so that we can retain the rights. And, mm-hmm. and because it didn't feel sloppy to me.
They're warming back up, man. They're warming up.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, well, I also think like too, to something.
Yeah, if you're trying to hold on, if you don't know exactly what you're going to do and you're trying to hold on to something and you don't know exactly how long production is going to take, animation is really the way to go.
This was a great little project to do. It was a great little story.
Yeah. You don't have to have anyone on set. You don't have to have anyone on location. You don't have to create costumes or anything like not like physically anyway, digitally you do. But I'm thinking like that's a great way. And then animated films take longer anyway, especially a style like this where it's mixed. It's like traditional anime and it's also like kind of more CGI backgrounds and worlds and whatever. So yeah, I mean, I think honestly it was a really smart play to retain the rights that they have, in my mind anyway, where it's like, okay, and at the end of the day, we got a good movie out of it. We got a good story. Again, could have been a little shorter, I think, but to me, I think like at least you did what Tolkien said in terms of like what he wrote, and because all the major plot points are there. They're all what he said and wrote.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like, Helm Hammerhand, actually, I mean, I was at one point, dude, I was so kind of impressed. I was like, oh, they kept Helm's son's name the same. Both of his sons have the same names. Wow. Because that's what Rings of Power has done. You're like, you're expecting to be totally UAP.
Yeah, sorry. I got the bright lights on. You're going to see this on Instagram. We out here, dog. We out here. Yeah, people who don't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
I put the camera on you. I distracted
the lights,
you.
Bro. I saw the lights.
Sorry about that.
No, I felt like
but no, I
the
know
moon
what you're
rising
saying.
Over it's... Helm, and I'm just like, the Wraith is back.
I know, right?
Flee, Helm has returned.
It was right over
the
there.
Ghost.
That's where we saw the UAP.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, man, I know what you're saying, and it feels like this is what I want to say is like if you're Rings of Power and you were worried about like, oh, we can't do all this all at once, look at what was just done here.
Right,
you just
dude.
Told a single story through animation that connected visually, all the visuals are the same, to the trilogy and to everything else that we saw. Like, why couldn't you go do something if you had the foresight? See, they don't. They don't have the foresight. These are people who don't want to, I don't know, even the executives. It's like they just want to jump in there and get it done and put their stamp on it and move on to something else that they like, another fandom. And it's like, no,
weird.
This is like, don't rush this. This is such a precious fandom, and it's such a precious story. It's the author of the century. I mean, it's just like, right? So
I'll also say this too, like of the, were there seven of us or six? I can't count.
Don't know. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Of the seven of us, there's only one of us who was like, I don't ever want to see it again, I don't think.
Right, yeah.
That's pretty good. Six out of seven were like, it was a good movie, I enjoyed it,
yeah,
I'll get it when it comes out.
Yeah.
Did it change my life? No one was like, it changed my life. There was also, there was a crazy scene that like I connected with as a father having daughters.
Yeah.
100%. Joe Louis said the same thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, they even had, like, I can't name one moment like that from Rings of Power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can name a million from
Lord
of the Rings.
Yeah, there was a touching moment. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I can't name many from The Hobbit, dude, to be honest, The Hobbit trilogy.
Sure.
I mean, in some ways, I think I would, looking back on this, if it wasn't for the visual element, I would watch this over I would, watching some of The Hobbit films.
Yeah.
Especially the second and third one. The first one I love.
Yeah, first one's wonderful.
But the second two, I think I would watch War of the Rohirrim over those if I had to pick.
Yeah. So, we'll say, though, while we're on The Hobbit, I love to put a plug in here.
Come
going
on,
back
baby.
And watching the Battle of the Five Armies, the end of that movie
is great.
Better.
End
is better.
Great.
And that's where it's like, when you talk about like this film being too long, War of the Rohirrim, it's like sometimes I feel like that's... Yeah, because you have so much that went right with The Lord of the Rings and having the extended edition that it feels like maybe they want to go more is better all the time, and their default is more is better. And I honestly am cool with that because I'm okay to watch a little bit of a boring moment.
Yeah.
I allow it, right?
For a big payoff.
Yeah, for a bigger payoff.
Yeah.
So,
I get that.
You know,
I get that.
But that just depends on your audience and who, you know, just depending on how that goes. But it worked for them, and in the trilogy. But anyway, I don't think there's a lot wrong with it. I don't think there's a lot that I don't think there's a lot of missteps at all.
I don't either.
Really, I think they just told single story. Imagine if there was a series of animations where if it was just an animated universe of Tolkien and Middle Earth and everything in the first, second, third age, and they just told stories in this format.
Yeah.
How freaking cool would that be? Some of them would be really motivational and epic and awesome, and some of them would be kind of sad, and they don't have great endings and stuff like that. You know, and you're like, that's a part of life and the stories, the ebbs and flows, life and death. And I feel like this is just one story that you've seen in visually that's been brought to life in either animation, and then we've seen stuff in live action, we've seen the TV shows from Rings of Power. There's so many more stories out there, and just as I'm reading more and more of these, I'm like, wow, like if all of these were brought to life in anime, dang, dude, be freaking nuts, dude. It'd be really cool. And if you could do that more authentically, I would love it. I would love an animated universe, to be honest with you.
It would be really cool.
What as we talking about, like, first age, go freaking animate the heck out of that,
dude.
Like, we'd be awesome.
We brought this up quite a bit. We talked about like the Animatrix, which came out between I think Reloaded and was the third one Resurrection. No, it was the third
something.
I don't remember.
Neo's the God.
Yeah, between the second and third Matrix, they had like a DVD that came out that had like six featurettes, and they were all done in different animation styles.
Yeah, I remember it.
I
was there.
Yeah.
We were around. Youngsters.
We were in high school, middle school.
We'll remember that.
And and it was really cool. And so I almost think like the timing is kind of odd that we're doing this now. You know, it would have been cool to like start in a run of years where they were between trilogies or like major stories or whatever. But again, like, I don't know. I think you're nitpicking if you're finding stuff that you're, oh, this is just egregious. I'm like, now that, all that being said, would it have been an awesome live action movie? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like this story would have been an incredible, like, and then you could have blown it up and made it like a 3-hour movie, I think, because you could have had some of those nuances. You could have had performances that were a little more driven than voice only, you know, paired with a visual element where, that was part of it sometimes too, where I was like, the visual aspect doesn't match,
and really
the audio.
Yeah, for sure. And this would not be one of those that we're not talking like you do this live action and you turn it into a trilogy. No, it's a single movie.
It is a single movie. Story. 100%.
There's enough story for it to be just a single movie and a really robust, good. It was in animation, and it would be in live action too. I agree with you,
dude. They even handled time jumps really well. Like the time from when Freka dies to when Wolf comes back with his army.
Yeah,
it's 4 years.
For sure.
And it was just handled with the narration. It said like years passed and Wolf was never heard from and thought to be dead. And it's like,
that's all you got to do.
That's how you do it,
That's
man.
All you got to do. It ain't super tricky. It's
36 months later or anything like that. You could just literally just allude to time passage that way. In the same way that the original trilogy did it with the 17 years.
Dude, like, some freaking movies literally just give you a timestamp and they say, here we go. Yeah. We moved forward. And they don't say it's this many years. They'll just say from this year to this year. And you're like, whoa, when you pause it, you're like, oh, it's 400 years or 200 years. Like,
yeah.
Cool beans. Like, what's going on, man? And there's a little narration. Yeah. Anyways, but you're right. They did a
moments later.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a great job. I really don't have anything bad to say about it. I would love to hear what you guys think. And
100%.
I don't think people are going to be like, oh my God.
I didn't feel,
this is the most coolest thing I've ever seen in my life, guys.
Dude, I don't know. I don't get like being triggered one way or another, honestly. I feel like you go in, it was a great experience. Like, my favorite thing was chuckling with Kevin, first of all, because Kevin was cracking me up because he would just laugh at the funny stuff. And I'm like, there's a lot of humor here, too.
Yeah.
And then also just, there was a portion got, so, okay, of the three people who got hammers, it was David Downing, Michael Charles, and of course, Joe Louis.
Yeah.
Joe Louis is sat right in the middle of us, right?
Yeah.
And there was a portion where every time, so Helm Hammerhand kept raising his hammer, right? And it happened once, he raised his hammer, and then I looked out of my peripheral vision, I saw Joe lift up his hammer. The person behind him, ain't no way they could see when he did it. And I thought to myself, oh my God,
he's that guy.
Joe's going to do it. And by God,
he did.
Every time animated Helm held up his hammer, So did Joe Louis in like 3 second delay. And I started just dying laughing. I'm like, of course. Yeah. Like, it is the most Joe thing ever. And then, of course, afterwards we went out. We got food. Cam had to get out of there. But dude, everyone else went. Good. We had food and drinks. And we laughed.
Inside jokes. Shout out to Khaki Guy. Holy.
It was amazing. We had such a good time.
I
learned about how jet engines do just fine in the cold.
Right,
which I don't know how I was supposed to. That's not general knowledge, David. Kevin, yeah. That's not general knowledge, guys.
Speaking of which, I want to say too, David, I appreciate you for
picking up the tab.
Picking up the
shout
tab.
Shout out for picking
up.
That was amazing that he did that. We tried to get him to not. But
it's funny that you said that. The first thing I was going to say was for saying grace.
Yeah,
But also, thanks for picking up the tab. But I mean, you know, I love his. I don't know. This is going to sound kind of crazy. I said this to Macy too, and I've said this to a few other people because I've started to notice it in younger people. You know, I had this talk about people in our community and who have a strong faith, and I'm like, man, it's cool.
Yeah.
It is cool, and I love when they flex it.
Yeah,
flex what God gave you, baby.
Looking at our past selves, isn't it?
It is, man. It really is, and it's so. It's inspiring, and
I love it.
I just wanted to say to him, shout out, because he was really, you know, he had us there. He had us, and I appreciate him.
Yeah.
But also, he had us in another way. Prior to going to see that movie, I don't know if you guys have ever been in the Purple Mattress Store.
Oh, my gosh,
but I mean, life-changing. So,
I thought you and I were going to conceive in that bed, honestly.
Well, here's
the
thing. We were anti-gravity, dude. Speaking of like all the things that led up to the UAP, experiencing anti-gravity on that bed.
Was that a plant? I mean, I kept thinking David was a plant because he was like talking to the guy about commissions. I'm like, dude, he's getting a cut of this. Called him up and said, nope, not the Lego store.
Right.
Not Legoland.
He flies. I don't know if people know he's a pilot. He delivers mattresses.
Dude, he could also be a Nordic.
On the side.
A Nordic alien.
That's crazy. Maybe.
Even though he's not as tall as I thought he was. We're about the same height.
He's a tall guy.
I thought he was taller than me, though.
He is taller than you.
Not by much, dude.
Just a hair. But
I thought he was like a head taller than me.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
He's not, though.
You're about the same height.
So that was kind of disappointing.
No, you guys are like the same height. I don't know.
I was disappointed as David.
Why are we all, David, you know, we're splitting hairs here. We're splitting hairs.
That's true.
In general, yeah, he was the only person who was sort of like, you know. I mean, everyone else was sort of like, yeah, it was good, you know. Yeah. It was solid.
And
it was solid.
If I remember from hearing him talk, he couldn't even necessarily articulate why. He was just like, I don't know. Just didn't hit.
Yeah, it just didn't hit. It wasn't like
that's
super
fine, too.
That's
like,
fine.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. I mean, like. I
think the thing that is upsetting me is this contrived, you know.
We're going to hate everything.
Guys, that's starting to show now. Because this movie was just like. If you were just to come out and say, hey, it was average, it was mediocre, if you called it mediocre, I'd be like, all right.
Sure.
But to come out and say it's absolute trash and the most garbage, like just to be like, it's a 2 out of 10. I'm like, dude, what the
Woke propaganda.
What are you
talking about, dude? Come on.
And so, anyway, I don't know. That's just where I kind of land on it. And I think it was a fun experience, man. I'll be happy to play it again and see. It's like nobody sits down and like puts the animated. I don't say nobody, but some of you out there are like, as I'm watching the animated Hobbit
right now,
all the time, right now.
It came back to Max. Did you see that it's on Max
again?
Did
it really? Oh, man. It's
because
cool.
of this.
It's cool to have in the background. I actually like it on a Sunday just in the background playing. You're like, oh, cool. There you go.
I do have to say,
scary.
It is. There's something intrinsically frightening about it, especially the original Bakshi film with like the rotoscoping stuff.
Yeah.
That shit it scares me, dude.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It's kind of like fever dreamish and like the way.
Yeah, they kind of did that. Did you notice in the War of the Rohirrim when they panned?
Yes.
Oh, like everything felt like it had a spooky. Your eyes get a little distorted. Yes. And you're like, whoa, what's going on?
There was almost like a frame rate issue. Almost. You got more.
That's
a plane.
That is, but I don't know because I'm
that other thing. Dude was doing loop.
I know.
That
I know.
Was not but right.
That disappeared out of nowhere. That's the thing that's kind of getting me.
Well, dude, I thought I saw that thing over there. I thought I saw it over here.
Wow.
That's a plane.
Well, yeah.
See, there's a distinct difference between what we're seeing
and
what we saw.
This is gonna pair well with.
Yeah, we're gonna roll right into that next one.
All
right,
guys.
Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think, man. War of the Rohirrim. We thought it was pretty good. Dude.
I was honored too. A lot of people were like, because we posted that we went, and a lot of people were like, "Can't wait to hear your takes on it." And I was like, "That's kind of
cool." Yeah, cool.
You know, like that people want to hear what we have to say about it. I'm like, "Geez, I don't know that I even want to hear what I have to say about it.
Yeah, we don't have anything. You know, like, it's nothing profound. I mean, we don't have anything profound to say about it.
Maybe that's like, I don't want to speak for David, but maybe that's part of what he was disappointed in, is it wasn't like this.
Yeah,
it's
really
not going to change your life.
Earth-shattering.
No, it's not like you go to Lord of the Rings and you come out and you're like, I believe in God. You know, like, it was just kind of like, okay, wow, that's a very real story.
Because Fellowship of the Ring changed our lives.
Bro, it changed,
right? I mean,
forever.
That's the thing. So it's what it, to me, it's just like, this is a part of that.
Yeah.
And so that was cool that it's an extra piece,
When I saw Fellowship of the Ring, Heath Ledger's Joker spoke to me from the future and he said, you've changed everything, or you've changed things forever.
Forever, yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that echo in the future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It changed everything. This won't do that. I mean...
No, but it expands upon something so great. That's the only reason the Star Wars fandom is doing what it's doing now is because the trilogy was so amazing, right?
100%.
1977 changes everything, and they're like, well, how do we continue that? How do we know that's at the heart and the core and the soul of this fandom?
Yeah.
And how do we try to shed some more light on that or expand it and get more of it, right? And so you got to be careful with that. You know, obviously you can overdo it.
Overdo it.
But I feel like... I feel like this fandom, in terms of the Third Age stuff and what Peter Jackson and his team have done, they're being good stewards, I think.
Yes, they are.
I really do. So
yeah, I do too. And again, it's like 20 years later, they could have changed certain aspects of themselves to like, they could have gone the opposite way. They could have taken the Rings of Power path, and they didn't. I mean, again, this was, this was pretty, again, if you're going by what actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll see. We'll really see, by the way. Guys, I think you're going to be blown away for
Hunt for Gollum.
Hunt for Gollum.
Yeah.
And I would highly encourage anybody. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it very soon.
Yeah.
It won't be tonight. We need to do the book. I need to have my fingers. I need to flip through the pages. But I'll just go ahead and say this. When you get a chance, go read some of the unfinished tales.
Yeah.
And read it all and read about the Hunt for Gollum in there. And tell me if you don't then understand what is going on. That's going to be a baller.
And why they're picking that
movie. They're picking it
that
for a
period.
Reason.
And, like, to me, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. When you started talking about it, I'm like, there is so much more.
So much they can do.
That goes on in there. So it doesn't, because I was really terrified that they were going to, like, go, okay, this is for all the Gollum heads out there. This is for all my Smeagols, my Smeagol bros, my flock of Smeagols. And I'm like, they can still, you know, because my fear was they were going to make it like, oh, we're going to follow Gollum around all the time. He's going to be a central character. Mm-hmm. You can still use him as, like, that accent. Which I think is how Gollum, unless you're like obsessed with Gollum, Smeagol, which
kitty.
I think it's. I thought there was actually a cat over there. I was freaked the heck out.
There are people like that though.
There are people who love. That's their favorite character, but it's not the majority. I think it's very niche.
Right.
So yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Use him as a punctuation mark.
Yeah. It's gonna be. So War of the Rohirrim was this extension from that trilogy.
Yeah.
Hunt for Gollum is going to be that as well. Other things will be coming. Yeah, and so we're going to see them sort of build this out as much as they can.
Dude, it could be a true bridge film from The Hobbit to The Lord of the Rings.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Never mind. No, it would. No, it's because it's in that 17-year gap, isn't it?
Well,
it'd
be, never mind. It's still expanding it. Well,
it would be like a. It would be like a. Yeah, like
yeah,
a,
between the Fellowship.
Yeah.
Or,
From
basically. Yes. Pause when Gandalf leaves, and then,
when he comes back,
But that there is...
But filling in the gaps
it's
there.
It's still a connection and a bridge back because you're getting more understanding between Gollum and his finding of the ring as well as, like, Bilbo and when he took it in the Shire and everything.
Yes.
So,
and Gandalf kind of playing catch-up to what's actually been going on.
Yeah.
And,
So it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And this was actually inspirational. I mean, in terms of, like, seeing what they did with War of the Rohirrim, I'm not dissatisfied, and I'm satisfied.
And it was with a different director, as through a different style. So it kind of showed that they can do stuff with Peter Jackson's universe without him being like the guy doing it. Mm-hmm. It almost made me lament to the fact that like The Hobbit wasn't done by GDT.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, man, if that just could have worked out, it could have felt like, I don't know. I think we would have gotten maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Oh, our teeth are chattering over here. We're freezing. I'm getting stiff as old tree
beard. We got one more battle to fight.
We got one more battle, buddy. One more battle.
If you believe in the war, then let's hear them. That's all I got.
That's all I got, too. Love you guys.
Yep.